grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our text, we have here two stories and a parable. One story told to Jesus, and a story that Jesus told, and a parable. And all of these deal with the subject of repentance. The first is an atrocity story of how Pilate had his soldiers rush in and massacre a group of Galileans as they were present, as their sacrifices were being prepared. And that's quite literally, mingled their blood with their sacrifice. The assumption seems to have been that these men must have committed some secret sin, some very great sin, for which God now had sent this special punishment upon them, sent it through Pilate. For Jesus immediately asked them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus?" And I tell you, no. He does not deny that their calamity marked them off. He does deny, rather, that their calamity marked them off as sinners above all other sinners and all others of their countrymen. And he leads them now to take their eyes off of these Galileans and to look at themselves, to realize that they also are included in this. Because he tells them, "No, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus then refers to a second incident, a second time when a sudden and unforeseen and calamitous accident occurred. 18 men were killed when the tower of Siloam fell on them. Then follows this same admonition: "Unless you repent, you will also likewise perish." The point he is making is that every calamity is a divine call to repentance and a divine warning to escape perishing forever by repenting in time. Sin, of course, is the cause of all evil in this world. And when it shows itself in calamities like these that were mentioned in our text, then it is actually warning us against itself. But only because God, through Christ, has made a way of repentance, a way of escape, through repentance. He elaborates this idea in the parable which he then spoke to his disciples and to the crowd. In this parable, a man, whom we understand is God, had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, which did not produce fruit, that is, did not produce repentance, as Luke refers to it. Perhaps we might say this is the same thing that St. Paul refers to when he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit that we should produce, or St. John when he says, "Love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth." And this fig tree was not producing fruit. And so he said to the vineyard, "The vine dresser, cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" To which the vine dresser, which is Jesus, asked that one more year of grace be given to it, and then outlined what he himself will do to encourage it to produce fruit. The point of these stories and accounts and this parable is to recognize the need for repentance and to recognize the gracious and merciful extension of time that God gives to us to allow for it. Saint Basil comments on this text: "This is peculiar to the clemency of God toward men, that he does not bring punishment silently or secretly, but by his threatening first proclaims them to be at hand, thus inviting sinners to repent." And he and Martin Luther said in the first of his 95 theses, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. A And may we then all review our lives, repent, and renew our resolve that with the help of God, we may be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our words, in our deeds, and in our thoughts. Amen. Let us now praise our gracious and loving God in the words of the Te Deum Laudamus.